Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption High Dimensions radio broadcast. I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour, and I praise God that we have joined together again for this midday message, examining ourselves. Examining ourselves. Scripture speaks about examining ourselves. Paul talks about it in the book of Corinthians. And there's a reason for that, and that's a good message for us. You know, there are definitely times that God will halt us and get our attention where he wants us to examine ourselves, to see, you know, are we in the faith, as Paul alluded to in the book of Corinthians here in chapter 13, to see if we are in the faith, and that has a lot of weight to it, and we're going to talk about that. But before we do that, we want to go before the throne of grace. And we pray that all of you enjoy your fourth in celebrating the liberty and the freedom that you have in Jesus and also what he's done for us in America. We thank God for all of the liberation that he has given us through Christ Jesus and redeeming us with his blood. So, Heavenly Father, we say thank you for all things today and thank you for those that are tuning into the broadcast. Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit will just speak to us and minister to us and lead and guide us into all truth. We pray that your word will be exalted in the earth, God, that you will get the glory out of everything that we do. We pray for the angels of protection as many are still traveling on the highways, that you will give them traveling mercy in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we want to pray so effectively today, God, that you will bring down the high places and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge and the truth of your word. Bring down principalities, evil powers, sanctions of the enemy, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Bind up and loose strongholds of control, domination, and intimidation, Lord. Loose your people and set them free. Lord God, remove the anxiety, the fear, God, the apprehension to go forward, things that you've called them to do. Bless the work of their hands, God, and establish them in every good work today. We speak it into the atmosphere in Jesus' name that you will cover us, Lord, that no weapon formed against your people will prosper today nor any other day in their lives. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the power that you've given us in the earth to proclaim you, God. Thank you for the power that we walk in by faith to believe and know that you're with us, God, and through you, we can do all things, Father God, in Jesus' name. So we thank you for the word of life today, God, that has came to set us free, that has came to give us wisdom and enlighten our path, Father. Well, we can keep our minds steadfast on you, and you promise to keep us in perfect peace. So we love you today, God, and thank you for your word, Lord, your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, God, as we go through your word today, we pray that you will humble our hearts and give us a spirit to receive the engrafted word that's able to save our souls, to change us, to deliver us, to set us free, to strengthen us, God, in every area of our lives, to prepare us for every good work, Lord. We submit ourselves today as we read your word. Let our hearts and our spirits be inspired. Let the word transform us, God, in our hearts and our minds, that we may go forth and be and do all, God, that you've called us to do and be all that you've called us to be. We thank you today, God, for all of the listeners, every hearer, Lord, for all of us listening. For you say, they that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is speaking to us, God. Your word is spirit. Your word is truth. So as we read, Lord, we read with understanding through the Spirit to see and know who you are, what you're speaking to us that will bring about change in our hearts, God, and keep us settled in you, Jesus. We thank you for the living word, the truth of your word that is light to us, God. Your word is light and life to our spirits. So we give you glory. We give you praise, God. Pray for those that are sick, that you will raise them up, God, and let healing go forth. Let us always honor you, Lord, in our hearts and keep that abounding love that we can pray for our enemies and those that persecute us and those, God, that are against you and those that are enemies against the cross, Lord, those that are wishing evil upon people, Father. We bind up the hands of the enemy that works so mightily in them, God. The force of darkness, we bind it up in Jesus' name and speak the power of your word against every evil, that you will bring it down. Every high place you will bring down, God. Hallelujah. And every valley you would exalt in our lives. So we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, thank all of you for tuning into the broadcast. This midday message, we're talking about examining ourselves. And we want to go right into scriptures here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And, you know, we can basically start at verse 1. But for the sake of time, of course, we want to go ahead on and start at verse 4. Scripture says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, for though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Now, Paul, of course, if we had started the first verse, he's admonishing the church, he's encouraging the church, and he's also... pretty much a little chastise he's doing here. He's chastising the church. He is giving them the instructions that God had given him to give to the church in order that they may understand the fundamental process of obedience, of adhering and listening to the Spirit that is to guide their lives in truth. So he wants them to know that he has the power, the authority, and he gives the allusion here in verse 4 to Christ seemingly being weak. Look what it says, for though he was crucified in weakness, yes, Christ was crucified in weakness. But we know scripture couples with it and says that, you know, no man took his life, he laid it down. But even in that laying down, Christ was weak. That's why he's able to feel and bear our infirmities, because in his weakness, he can identify with our weakness. But it says, yet he lived by the power of God, because that resurrection power, Jesus, the authority to rule in heaven and in earth. So he lives by the power of God. Jesus lives by the power of God. So Paul goes on here, we're still in verse 4, for we also are weak in him. Yes, but scripture also let us know that when we are weak, we are made strong because Christ lives in us. And the Bible says that God gives power to the faint and increases strength to those who are weak. It is quite okay to feel or to acknowledge our weaknesses sometimes. It is very much quite okay, because the Bible says that God knows our frame. So we all have weaknesses to the Lord, and ask him to strengthen us by his might and his power, because, again, he gives power to the faint. That's why from time to time we all have to have rest for whatever we're doing, whether it's ministry, whether it's on your job. Whether you're a parent, you need a break from the children. We all have to have that leisure time where we can rest. Even Jesus went to the mountain and rest, because the body is weak. As the Bible declares as well, that, you know, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Our spirit is always willing to do the things that God wants us to do. Oh, that's just it. Our spirit yearns for righteousness, hunger and thirst after righteousness. But there's that time where the flesh is weak, but God empowers us with his spirit. So Paul goes on to say again, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. That is for leaders. This is a message, of course. Yes, we are human just like anybody else are human, but we are also weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you, because the authority and the strength and the ability that God gives leaders to pour out his word to other people is his power working in us toward others, toward you, those that are leaders whom you lead or who is under your authority. He gives you that power. So we look at verse 5, says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. And this is the message, of course, to the church, but when we look at scriptures as it relates to examining, we examine ourselves in Christ. We have to always examine ourselves. This is just not a message for leaders. This is a message for all of us, because God wants all of us to examine ourselves. There's just that time where in examining ourselves, God is working in us as we ponder his ways. Holy Spirit begins to speak to us and reveal things in our heart, in our mind, in our action, our deeds, in the way we treated others. There's a scripture in Lamentation 3, chapter 3, verse 4, says, let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord. There's ways in our thoughts we need to turn toward the Lord. We need to grow in faith. There's just a way that God wants us to present ourselves and how we are to govern ourselves in the earth that will bring him glory. Paul talks about examining ourselves. Further here. Now, before we go a little further, I want to read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, this is another reason why we examine ourselves, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And Paul says here in Ephesians, and I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, rooted and grounded in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, and how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. That's why we have to examine ourselves, because there's a depth in God that we are apprehending, that Christ wants us to apprehend. There's a level of understanding of who Christ is. God wants us to know that, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, he said, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's verse 19 in Ephesians chapter 3. Because Christ is the hope of glory. God wants us to be filled with the knowledge of who Christ really is, the full measure of the purpose of Christ coming into the earth, and it was for love. And we need to pass that knowledge on to others. That's why he said that you may be able to comprehend the width, the depth, the length, the height of Christ's love, passing it on to others. Helping them to understand what this walk of Christ is all about. That's so important. It all just boils down to love. And so when you're faced with different opposition and challenges in life, In your dealings, in your affairs, business affairs, family's affairs, on your job, wherever you go, love that puts that spirit of humility in us to want to be more like Christ, to strive for the masteries and being more like Christ, and understanding how Christ would deal with certain situations, because he's all about winning souls. So that is the reason that we examine ourselves. We examine ourselves so that we can prove the faith of Christ is true. The faith that we rest our hope in is true. Because he wants Christ to dwell in our hearts through faith. That we be rooted and established in love, the bottom line. And we have a long ways to go. Every single person, you know, to that perfection, till we come into the unity of the faith as the bride of Christ, where we all on one accord for that great great and noble day of the return of the Lord, when we all go back with him for that number that no man can number, when we are with the Lord before the judgment seat of Christ, so that we can receive the rewards for the deeds that we've done in the earth and have that power together. We want to have that power together with all of God's people. And that's why he wants us to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. When you read the Bible in its entirety, from Genesis to Revelation, you should be able to comprehend and feel the Spirit of Christ through Scripture. You know, you hear many people say they have read the Bible. But when you approach the Bible with your own pre-misconceptions, with your own thoughts, you're not allowing the Scriptures to come alive inside of you. Because if you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, there's a power that you are endowed with to know the Spirit of God, to know the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus and what he came to do in his purpose. You will get to feel and understand the purpose of Christ in the earth, and the spirit that he's left in, what he's all about, and what we should be doing, and how we should be thinking. That's why there's another scripture that says, if there be any praiseworthiness, think on these things, anything that is honorable, anything that is of a good report, praiseworthy, a virtue, pure. Think on these things of love. He gave us the fruit of the Spirit to understand who Christ really is in the earth. And the Holy Spirit that comes to transform our lives to the depths of changing us, to let go of the world and to be more like Christ, to let God have his way in our lives. Because, see, Christ's perfect love casts out fear. It casts out the fear of something happening to you. It casts out the fear of you being worried all the time about what you don't have and what you need. It casts out the fear, but we grow into these areas of Christ, into the maturity where we can feel the letting go of the world, the letting go of the anxiety, the letting go of, and we give ourselves to Jesus, as he told us in the scriptures, to cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us. So that's why we are back now in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, because Paul is saying to the church, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Look what he says, test yourselves. He says, test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Because he's talking about power. He's talking about the spirit of faith. Unless indeed you are disqualified. Because if you're disqualified, then you failed the test of all the things that the Bible and Scripture has given us to live by, to live by faith in Christ, to obedience, to adhering to Scripture. You have to test yourself to see if you're really in the faith. Do you really believe? Do you really trust God? Do you really love God's people? Do you really believe the mission that Christ has told us to do in going out and spreading the gospel to the four corners of the world, the highways and the byways? Is it really in you of a truth to testify, to witness to others? To witness to others. These are the true tests. The test of love in Christ to see if you're really in the faith. You may have failed the test because you don't have love in your heart. You're holding on to bitterness. You may have failed the test because you have not been a witness for Christ. You're ashamed of your faith. You have to test yourself, and if so, you can repent. As we read the scripture in Lamentations, turn back to the Lord in your faith. God always receives us back. He receives you back like the prodigal son. gives us other scripture that tells you to turn back to your first love. Get on back on fire for God. Get back on fire. Fill your heart. Doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect, but you have your heart turned towards God, where your efforts now are going to be in Christ to humble yourself and be obedient to God because you love him. You're not working your way in for salvation. You're just humbly obeying God because you love him. And you love the work that he's called us to do as believers. So that's why Paul says here, do you not know yourself that Christ is in you? There's a power in you when you are a believer. You don't just go to church for years and years and years and years and not be effective in the kingdom. I wanted to say this earlier during the week. Any place that you're not effective or you're not being productive, that's a good way to know and examine yourself that, you know, you need to do something and pray for God to lead you more into his perfect will for your ministry, for what he's called you to do. Because anything that's not productive, it's like the fig tree that Jesus cursed. You're not going to grow, you know, something is dead. If you're in a place or you're doing something on the social media or whatever you're doing in life and it's not productive, no fruits, I don't care if it's just one soul that you're reaching, that's you're bearing fruit. But then you have to watch. If God is telling you, well, something is not productive, is not effective. Just like Jesus wasn't able to minister in his hometown. A prophet is not honored in his hometown. They're without honor. And you can't be productive in certain areas with your family as Jesus wasn't in his family, his region of community. It's not for everybody. But I'm just saying, and if you find that to be so, then you have to pray and ask God to propel you at a level to shoot you far out of the reach of principalities' powers so that you can be effective and you can leave those areas where you're not producing. Because in your familiarity of your community or of your family or whatever it is, people will not accept you because they're looking at you as Jesus' community did, to say, isn't this not the carpenter's son? Isn't this the carpenter's son? How did you, where did he get this knowledge from? Or who do you think he is? Because people want to always view you as how they always knew you. And that doesn't work in the spirit when God has called you to a higher level of going forth for him, when he has anointed you to do something. Jesus just left. He said he couldn't do many works there. Because the mindset, they had not the faith to receive and believe. They couldn't do many works there because they were looking in the natural at him. So we have to examine ourselves in these areas to see if we are being effective. And like Paul says again, unless you, indeed you are disqualified. Let's look at verse 6. But I trust that you will know, he says, that we are not disqualified. He wants them to know that the authority and the power that God has given them proves the fact that they are not disqualified. They look like they're disqualified, but they are not disqualified. And the reason being, we're going to go to another scripture that's going to show, because Paul was writing these letters to the church. But they felt because Paul was writing these letters to them that he was weak in some kind of way, because with his presence, they thought that, you know, his letters was weighty, but in his presence when he went to visit them, you know, he didn't really show forth all of that authority when in their presence. Well, you know, Paul was a very wise man that God chose to use because, you know, he gave Paul wisdom. But he let them know, you know, my letters is, if I wrote the letter, I have the same power when I'm in presence with you. Whatever you read, I'm the same person that wrote the letters that came from the Spirit of God that is inside of him, that empowered him to give these letters to the church, to correct them, to chastise them, to let them feel God's power in the letters. Because now this church has just been established. You're talking about the body of Christ coming into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, now Paul had to give them the instructions from God with authority so that they'll understand God means business. If you receive him in your faith, just like the Hebrew author of the book of Hebrews, he's letting them know, you know, don't turn from your faith and be careful. And this is how God wants you to live. These are the instructions of righteousness that's going to save your life. His message with love and authority, they go together, the lamb and the lion. So we look a little further here. Of course, we read verse 6, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Verse 7, now I pray to God that you do no evil, he says. Not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. Basically, in this passage of Scripture, the Holy Spirit is letting us know that it's almost like don't put God to the test. By doing evil to try to approve the authority that you really have. You know, people would, that's what the Bible says, you know, don't tempt the Lord. So he's telling them now, pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved. Because you have some people, they want to show you. When you correct people, or chastise them with the word, those that God has given authority and leaders, your pastors, the bishop over the church, they want to test you to approve you and to try your authority. So he says, don't do that. Don't do no evil to approve our authority. But look what he says, but that you should do what is honorable. Just do what's honorable as the word is coming forth for all of us. There's messages that God sends that corrects us, chastises us, because he's wanting our lives to represent him so that we can live by faith and live a good life. There's some things God is just saying, you know, get it together, put it down, you know, get up, do more, sharpen your faith, believe, walk more in love, forgive more. Things the Holy Spirit brings back to our remembrance. So he said, just do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. But because there are people that feel that some leaders are disqualified to lead them, to teach them. But just do what's honorable. Don't put them to the test to try to prove their authority over you. Verse 9 says, for we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Because some people does look at your weaknesses as a human being. But yet, the gospel anyway, for all of us, the gospel goes forth, you know, anyway, for all of us to, you know, keep doing right, keep living right. So it doesn't matter how people feel about leaders that may appear weak to them. The truth is the truth, and we're going to see that in the next verse. So the latter part of verse 7, we read that. Verse 8 says, for we can do nothing against the truth. So we seem or appear weak and disqualified, it's for others' good. Because we can't do nothing against the truth. What can you do with the truth? But to teach it and preach it and live it. There's nothing else. And we can't do anything for the truth, because the truth is the truth. And that's why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's already given us the truth of his word. Verse 9, and I think we may have already read it because we skipped verse 8, but verse 9 says, we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. But this also we pray that you may be made complete. Paul just loved the church so much. It didn't matter how people feel about him. And I'm, you know, as we grow in the Lord, we should just have that same mindset, because you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be talked about, you're going to be ridiculed, you know, as long as you are a Christian and a believer, especially from the outside world. But unfortunately, we get these persecutions inside the church too. So it just goes along with the territory as a leader. You know, you're going to be persecuted. People will find some kind of fault in what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look at another scripture here. They were glad when they are weak, and you are strong. Because the word makes us strong. As long as you're getting it, that's basically what it's saying. As long as you're getting the word, we're just glad you're strong. You get something from it. And this we also pray that you may be made complete. Yes, the Bible says we are complete in him. Verse 10 says, therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for the edification and not for destruction. So he's wanting them to get the letter and feel his sharpness in the letter, his power in the letter, the authority in his letter. And that's when he comes, you know, he'll be even sharper with them. And it's not for their destruction, it's for their edification and building up. You can always receive a word from the Lord. Everybody God leads to somebody to have a word, you know. You know, everybody feel like they may not be called to some people, but we all can receive a word from whom God has put out there to preach the truth. There are certain ministries and callings that God has given people where they are attracted. These particular people, because in the spirit, God knows that they can identify and have likeness of the spirit where they will receive from another. That's why even on this broadcast, there are people that may feel like I'm not in that area of likeness where they can receive, because the temperament, the personality, the character, who you are, you may feel like you need another level of this or that, or you may need, you know, it's just different ways that God reaches people, but there's always something that you will grasp, you will receive. I've always thought that Noel Jones' teaching was very solid and on some different spiritual knowledge level that, you know, you really got to pay attention to Bishop Noel Jones to grasp the power and the concepts of the spirit of what God is saying. It took me a while to get there. But in my early years of my walk with the Lord, I didn't really understood it. But now, of course, I do. And you have to take time to really receive the insight of the spirit of what God does in his teaching. And it's very, very powerful and anointed. And I have a son, of course, that loves it. He's able to really comprehend at a young age. So that's the difference of people being called to certain ministries. But I've always grasped and received to this day. There's things that he said I never will forget that is blessing and helping my life on a knowledgeable level, spiritually, to keep me in the faith. And just like other ministers God has put in my life, that we follow down the road. And you may not always listen to that particular one person. God will feed you, keep feeding you knowledge and truth for your life. So he says in verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the love of God and peace will be with you. Greet one another with the holy kiss. All saints greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That was all Paul wanted to do to help the church understand, you know, why he's writing to them, to examine themselves, to receive the word that he's given to them. And don't tempt them to try to prove them. But just do what you do that is honorable. Because the word only comes to help us. So we examine ourselves with the word of God. Good. It's good. Because we don't want to live loose as believers, because the enemy is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's on the prowl. So God wants to give us wisdom to walk in the spirit and have a discerning spirit So we look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, real quickly here, the broadcast is about to end. Look what the church told Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. So Paul, you know, he didn't let it bother him, but he just got them correct in verse 11, said, let such a person consider this. If you think like that, that my letters are weighty and my presence are weak, you know, basically Paul just said in verse 11, let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are absent, such we will also be indeed when we are present. That's just like if I'm on this broadcast teaching and preaching, but if you see me in person, you may feel differently. You may feel differently. But in the presence, if I can say it on the broadcast, I'm still the same person in presence, in your presence. It just means that now that I'm in your presence, I'm going to conduct myself in a manner where my wisdom and spiritual discernment is really going off, as Paul pretty much had in the presence of them. Now, you in the presence of people, it doesn't change who you are. You got to discern your atmosphere and see what's going on, who is among you. As the Bible says, you know those that are among you. Because when you're on the other side, such as a broadcast or you're sending out a letter, you are just getting direct communication from God. You're sending out the spirit of what God is telling you to say, what to deal with. But when you get in the presence of others, okay, now you're in the presence of different personalities and characters and bodily language, and so you got to deal with all of that. So now you're discerning what the Holy Spirit is telling you, how to conduct yourself in the midst of this. So that is what he's saying. He said, let such a person consider this, that what we are in word by letters when we are present, excuse me, when we are absent, such we are also indeed when we are present. Verse 12, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Because as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, people are trying to find out or feel whether they want you to preach or teach them or have authority over them, or whether they want to receive from you. It's those kind of things that Paul said, you're not wise if you're doing that, because all he is wanting to do is share the gospel and help you understand the height, the depth, the width, the level of love Christ wants us to have and how we can comprehend truth so that we can live in it. He says, we, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. We're not going to boast ourselves up as leaders to make us feel like we're more powerful than we should and we have more knowledge than somebody else, or we this or we that. No, it's all for the love of Christ. If you really know what leaders go through behind the scenes, You would think different. That's what Paul is telling the church. That's why they're not wise to try to compare themselves, you know, among themselves, the body of Christ. We shouldn't do that, because we're all in a race. We're all in a battle. Everything is spiritual. And that's why he said, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you, because we're praying for you. Paul's praying for the church. Paul loved the church. Pastors have such a responsibility on their hands with some of the members that are just so rebellious, and, you know, they oppose leaders so much because things don't go their way. But God instructs the church to, you know, don't cause the pastor to be grieved with you, you know. Let your pastor lead you with love and peace. Don't grieve that he has to get up in that pulpit and feed you the knowledge of the truth of God's word. Because you don't know how much people love the church. They're called to the responsibility of teaching and preaching to people so that they can understand what the Holy Spirit is saying so that your soul can be saved. Verse 14 says, for we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other men's labor. That's why the Bible says don't establish or build things upon another man's foundation. And don't boast of beyond the measure has been given to us, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. That means in our atmosphere, in our, you know, area. Well, I'm glad to be able to bring forth the message and get it out there as much as I can, because I really want people to understand the love of Christ and to have hope, to understand that and grasp the concept of the biblical information so that you can have a dynamic relationship with God, move forward and be and do what he calls you to do. The verse 15 says, again, the latter part of verse 15, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our atmosphere, our area, our sphere, to preach the gospel in the region beyond you and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. There's not those that commend themselves that feel like they've been called and this is me and I'm doing this, I have this knowledge. No, you're commending yourself. We commend ourselves if we do that. But you know what? The blessing and the glory comes from whom God commends you. He's pleased with you. It's not the person that commends themselves. We disqualify ourselves when we commend ourselves. We're grateful to be called to do the work of the Lord. But that's why God puts such heavy burden on leaders or ministers or whoever you are, evangelists, whatever he called you to do, because, see, that humbles you. That thorn in the flesh that Paul asked God to move three times because he had such revelation from the Lord. He went to this very deep height in God for God to give him the spiritual revelation of the knowledge of his word. So there was a thorn that God gave him to buffer him, to humble him, to keep him at a place where you know that it's only because of God that you know and you can do what you do. So we are out of time. God bless all of you. Thank you so much for tuning into the broadcast. Continue to bless you along your day, increase all of our understanding of him. And until next time, I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour. Have a wonderful day.